Welcome to the Casual Convo Podcast. I'm your host, Nasika. Each week, please listen in on Casual Convos with me and my special co-host from all over the world. Without overthinking or overplanning, we casually explore our thoughts, personal experiences, and spiritual journeys across a range of random topics. Plus, at the end of each episode, I'll pose a few thought-provoking questions. Just a little food for thought to keep the conversation going. So, now, today, joining us is an amazing child of the Most High God. Amazing because God uniquely created him, and that in itself is truly one of a kind. There is no one else like this person. So, without further ado, let's get this casual convo started, and please welcome C.S. Lewis. I know I dragged that, but it's amazing, right? All right, let's see.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. C.S. Lewis. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Nasika?
I am wonderful. I love the way you say my name. Thank you. So, how's your Sunday going?
So far, so good. It's a little bit rainy out and it's chilly, but like, you know, it's a good day to be alive.
Oh, always a good day to be alive now. That's a blessing in itself.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I gave you... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I said I didn't mean to send you down a rabbit hole, like, in the middle. But, like, you know, for my own peace of mind, it's for me, I think it's good to, like, understand the anthropology of the commandments, like, where they came from and, like, who they came from. Well, besides from God, but, like, how they were presented. And there's a lot of stuff in there that I didn't really notice about, like, Moses, like, him being a prophet and the only person that on record to actually, like, see God face to face and that kind of relationship, like, how close that relationship was.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty amazing. So yeah, we're gonna touch on a little bit of the Ten Commandments because C.S. Lewis definitely brought this to my attention, and like he said, it's good to touch up on these things to get a better understanding and hopefully to then apply it to our lives, I think. So what thoughts came to your mind in regards to that biography video you sent me?
Like you said, really understanding who he was, who Moses was, life. And like, I mean, we know the commercial story. I mean, everyone does, even if you don't read the Bible profusely, right?
Yeah.
You know, he goes up to Mount Sinai and he receives the Ten Commandments. But the intricacies of him coming back down and the people that he had just, you know, literally saved from persecution.
From being killed forever?
Yeah. Right.
Being destroyed to dust?
He had to then reconvince them that, like... I made a note of, like, something that I said, that he had to defend God against the children of Israel and defend the children of Israel against God, which is interesting, right?
It is very interesting. And you know what's even more interesting, too? I'm sorry if I cut you off for a second.
No.
Just like a few weeks ago, I was on Netflix and I watched this series. It was called Watch the Testament of the Story of Moses. So I literally just watched that like 2 weeks ago. So that's wild that you brought this up because it really hit me to have literally understand that they was about to get done off. Number one, they were so broken that when they got led into the, like, you know, wilderness, they was wishing that they were still under captivity of like the Egyptians just because
they was but, assured I mean,
doesn't
of food.
That tell you, like, the mentality, like, how strong? Because, I mean, that specifically, mm-hmm. this is, like, a huge tangent. But if you saw Django Unchained?
Django Unchained?
With,
Is that Jamie Foxx?
There are a ton of people. Yeah, Jamie Foxx, but there's a character in there. It's Samuel L. Not that, it is
yeah,
Samuel,
yeah. Right? The slave, the
He's right. Kiss, so his the character. Kiss,
kissing butt. Yeah, him.
Right. It was like, I saw it. I was much younger, obviously. And, you know, I'm an immigrant. So, like, understanding his character was also always so fascinating to me. Because, I mean, that just what you just said reminded me of that. Like, you know, you get, you're so, like, programmed into this is how life is, because we are, you know, indefinite. We're just fallible people for a short time. It's impossible to accumulate all of the knowledge of our history mm-hmm. and really apply it if it's not really being taught that way. You know, you kind of just go. So we get programmed into defeating ourselves and our own, like, purpose and, like, our bodies, right? Just that's how our mind, it's possible to convince anybody of anything. Like, I think that's a big part of this. Like, mm-hmm. you can convince people to, as a mass, like, just work against this stuff.
Yeah, I feel like, well, not even feel like, I see that our people are so stuck to the programming of what each government, you know, in the States and out of the country, how they're programmed to just listen and do as I say, eat this food, whatever I give you, don't question it. End of story, because this is the best you're going to get. This is all you're going to have and you're going to be happy. And it's like, no, we serve a greater God. Like, we serve the one true living God. You know what I mean? And when Moses came in and was giving that order, like that righteous law to set us apart, you know, from all the chaos and the wickedness and the programming, in a sense, right? And we keep this righteous law so we can follow him and understand the difference of what's programmed and what's real. Not to say, like,
right, it's kind of like playing out the noise.
Yeah, exactly. And not to say, like, the real isn't long suffering. It's easy, because it wasn't. Mm-hmm. They went into the wilderness for like 40 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No. But I mean, they were coming back. That's like slavery in this country was like 200 years, and that, you know, 100 years of slavery. You have to keep going forward.
And look, aren't we still in slavery though? It's just like in our minds now. We don't have the chains anymore though.
It's it's like, we've talked about this. So, like, you know what I said? Are we still in slavery? Are we still in bondage?
I think so.
You know what was interesting? I mean, this is another tangent, but I just saw that Kamala Harris, mm-hmm. not Kamala Harris, it was Joy Reid in Harlem, talking about Medgar Evers and his wife, Marley Evers, the book that she just wrote. And it kind of touched on, you know, just... Because apart from Medgar Evers, like, the wife, the 60s housewife, and that persona that you had to have, and, you know, your responsibilities to be the homemaker and dad three kids, as well as constantly being threatened with firebombs. Like,
seriously.
And she said specifically that, you know, Medgar Evers was different from Martin Luther King, because, you know, Martin Luther King was all about peace, but Medgar Evers was an army veteran, so he had guns all over the house. All the kids had, like, drills of what to do if something happened. Like, that's, like, a different dynamic. And I will end this tangent because that's, but, you know, you just reminded me of that as well.
No, but I think that's ridiculous because, listen, I mean, I grew up, my childhood was pretty cool, but I didn't grow up with, like, bombs going over my head either. You know what I mean?
Oh, shit. Yeah. What you said just before this was, like, and that reminded me of this quote. It says that one of life's one true opponent is fear itself.
Mm.
And I think fear motivates us to do, can be motivating to do things. When people are afraid that they won't have shelter, when they don't, they, you know, they're not part of the group, I think was a big thing for this particular bunch. Because, you know, beliefs are like, and they were also restricted from indulging in these other God beliefs before because they weren't part of that. So it's another part of like this nostalgia of, oh, we weren't allowed to do this, and maybe we should, like, you know, that whole goes back to the apple. We're not supposed to do this, so maybe, you know, we're curious human beings, we're curious by nature, we want what. So I think the Ten Commandments gives us like a road, it clears out the noise,
and these things
are simple,
right? Like,
the Bible could be confusing because you guys should experience now and north, and like, but this is pretty straightforward.
It's pretty straightforward.
Also, like, kill, like, and, you know, we also went over that 4-minute link where it said breaking down the Ten Commandments for kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I think how they explain that specifically, like, it'll be great if we can go through those, just in general, like the first commandment.
Sure.
Right? Thou shalt not have another God before me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
I mean, that could be general, I would think, but I feel like in a personal way, what's a God? The way that we have addictions now, like, what is a God? Do I should not have enough? How do you define a God? So, you know, something that you devote time to, or, you know, because you can say that your cell phone is a God.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Nowadays, for sure.
Maybe, right?
Absolutely.
Something that you designate a significant amount of your attention and devotion to. Right? If the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, you grab your cell phone and like,
yo, what's going on in IG today?
You might want to check your priorities. I'm not saying that's like a bad thing, but like, you know, you might want to say,
it's a little obsessive when it's every single day.
Amen for today for like 2 seconds and then like grab your cell phone. I'm just saying, you know, you have to check aware what are these, what we define as a God before me.
Right.
You know, what am I devoting my time to? What, I mean, what do you think? How do you bridge that first commandment?
I mean, absolutely everything you just said, I agree. Because if you're picking up your cell phone and being on it all day, and then you don't even pray, or you pray really quick, go back to your cell phone, and it's like, when do you really put God first? I mean, because reading the word is like him talking to us. Like, when we pray, we talk, but reading the word is him talking to us. So I feel like that's really important. And also just applying those principles to make sure we're in the right spirit. And, you know, if you're in another, I'm sorry. If you're like, if you're worshiping another God other than what the King James Bible or the Bible of the Hebrews is talking about, that's another God. There's no way around it. It's not all gods to one God. And it doesn't work that way. It just, that's why the law came, to set it apart.
Right, and I think it's really important to distinguish that, you know, the word God is not like a religious thing. It's just, you know, giving your time to something, you know, even if it's like some people are really like self-defeating, so you're spending too much time surfing the internet or doing something that you know, or something even more distract, pornography or something, because that could be a God. Like, if you're spending like, say 10 hours a week watching pornography, like, that could be 10 hours a week being more constructive, like, you know, something extreme as that. So it doesn't even have to be like another deity or something, but
no,
you know,
I believe
these
it
things
does,
in
though.
Our lives that like that occupy the space of, you know, inner reverence.
Yeah, no, I believe that's 90% of it, and then the 10% is like putting another God also, like literally a whole nother type of God, like whatever their names are. You know what I mean? Like it ain't Christ. You know, it's not. So it's just like, okay.
Then. I mean, connected to that, because I don't feel like I do agree. But you know, the mortal sins, so like lust. And like, I feel like those are the other things. Like, you know, you connect an actual deity to something. I mean, it would be like, what are the? I'm sorry, I'm really bad on.
No, but listen, look back to what you were saying with Moses. Look what happened with Moses. He went to go get the righteous law and came back down. They built a whole calf and was bowing down to it. Like, that was the first, like, proof of like bowing down and praising something that's a statue or a stone or like something that's just other than the one true living God. And then nowadays, now we worship in ourselves. It's like we're putting ourselves as God, putting ourselves before God, our needs, our wants, before what he says, before his will. You know what I mean? So it's really wild to me.
I feel like for me, I want to see this as inclusive as, like, how do I say this? not that, like, you say that we're putting ourselves as God. I feel like God is part of, like, my God. For me, God is the collective. Because I've struggled a lot with, like, I guess even when I was a lot younger, I guess, with, like, how God is fair. Right? Like,
yeah.
The fairness of, like, you know, how does he, but, you know, if you're a parent, not even a parent, a directly a parent, but, like, a caregiver or something, and you really care about people, and you understand human nature and people making mistakes, it's, like, of how every action has a reaction and that ripple effect. It's, like, you know, if you pull something out, you're affecting 50 other things. So, you know, just to like, understand the expanse of, like, the collective of spirit of souls, you know, and how we are and how we treat each other. So when I say it's individual and, like, personal, it's like how I treat the people around me and how I treat my environment. I hope that radiates and individually radiates, so that we're the God collective. And if we continue to, like, corrupt that message,
as we know how to do so well,
that people don't even know,
understand what's going on.
Right from wrong, like, you're in this space fight, because, you know, there is a lot of static.
Yeah.
As you said, this is the foundation, the core, like, thou shalt not kill.
Right.
But then you justify that with one. We didn't get to, we have.
Okay, yeah, what's two? Let's go to two then.
Number two. Okay, I got you. thou shalt not make unto thee any graven
images. Oh, yeah. That calf, you know, nowadays in modern times, it's those crystal balls and the crystal stones, and it's a.
What do you think about the cross?
How would you
say if someone says?
Oh yes.
If someone says the cross is a.
The Unk cross, all of that. Yeah, all of it is true.
You include the Christ on the cross. You don't believe
that. That too. Yeah, all of it. It says don't have any graven images in earth, in heaven, or what's in underneath earth. Don't have any of these things and have it and pray to it or use it as protection. It's not it. No. Absolutely.
So it's not like having mementos or things that symbolizes your religion or your spirituality, like a crucifix, or it's nothing like that. I mean, how would you define? Because I want to see where I'm going wrong here. Like,
no, again, like, if you're bowing down to it and you're worshiping it, that's a little bit much, you know? Like, it says, like, don't craft any idols, like, whether it's Jesus figures, like you're saying, the crosses, nothing. It's more than just a religion, no. It just strikes at the heart of what respect and reverence means in our faith to, like, our true living God. You know what I'm saying? Like, he said, don't bow down, don't worship anything of any likeness that is in heaven, that is in earth, or beneath. So why do we have these things around our necks and all that extra stuff is mind-boggling.
And at the end of the day, it really ties back into the monetization of religion. In general, and Christianity.
Yeah.
So, like, we agree on that in the bottom line.
For
so,
sure. Like, bottom line, you're right about that.
Yeah,
for sure.
They needed marketing items.
to confuse us and keep us in hell. Sure. Go ahead. Wear it.
Right.
Terrible.
Yeah. So, no craving images. Should not make unto thee any. Make unto thee. So, I guess that would represent. Make unto thee. I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah,
you know,
plug that in real quick. What is it that you do, C.S. Lewis?
Okay, right?
Yeah.
So I'm an artist and an entrepreneur. I'm a creative consultant, so, and visual art. Marketing, branding, you know, about identity. So, I mean, the thing I love about art is it allows me to understand things, you know, how people think, how people view things, you know, what will get a certain reaction, and understand the history of that, you know, the history of images, and, you know, from the walls of Egyptian pyramids, hieroglyphs, up until now, how we use iconography, and now we're doing, that's all coming back with text messages, and how we just need an image to, like, portray an emotion or how we feel, or we're going back around again.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of where I am. So, I mean, I'm an artist, so I have a genuine want to understand things and people and human nature. I'm also an avid study I'm a registered behavioral technician. So, like, I help adjust behavior based on science, based on statistics, based on the things that you like and you don't like, that understanding, and what motivates you to do and not do things. That's why Moses is so interesting to me, because that, your background, you're so, like, you know, we make a big deal about where you come from. Mm. And not knowing where you come from has to affect you for your life, right?
No, I get it. It's so true. So,
like,
wait.
You know, we understand the commandments, but I feel like it's also important to understand the person.
Absolutely, because I just feel like it's just a moral guide. That's all it is, you know.
Yeah, no, like you said, that's crazy, like, time. I mean, with in a world of so much static, it's good to just have. But see, it's easy. We're constantly contradicting ourselves. I mean, I feel like we're putting a state where we're constantly having to live in contradictions. Like you said, drugs are bad, but cigarettes are plastered everywhere. Like you said, like, you know, that, like, yin and yang of common sense that, like, leaves you in this puddle of confusion.
Exactly.
Purposely so, because then you act against your own benefits and beliefs and behavior and well-being.
Right, and that moral that moral compass that's within us, you know what I mean? We go against it and we start to question it. We start to doubt it. It's like, it's ridiculous because it's so confusing. Like you said, it is. The world is just really based off of confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. So I already know that's wrong right there.
He made it pretty simple, like,
right?
He's not the factor in this. So I mean, at some point we need to reflect.
Examine your heart. Examine yourself. Okay.
Let me. I don't know. Right. Stop blaming God for stuff, man.
All right.
So, what's he gonna do? He can't be like, oh no, yeah. That's what I think with the history, where, and how the Bible describes his relationship with Moses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is that like? Because he took, what was that, Joseph with the coat, right?
Say it again.
That was Joseph in the Bible with the coat, the beautiful coat, and then got sold into slavery by his brothers.
Oh, Joseph, yes, right? Mm-hmm. That was Joseph.
And Joseph is actually how the Israelites ended up in Egypt, right?
After the regime changed
hundreds of years later, you know, the mindset changed against all the Israelites that were there now. Was Pharaoh, Seti the First, says, okay, now if you have a male child, you have to throw it into the Tiber.
OMG.
Because y'all are outpopulating us. We need to, like, yeah, so that's, you know, everything kind of ties back around. And and that's the thing with Egyptians, with Israelites, which I, you know, admire, like that chronologic history of life. But it doesn't, like, you're just following, you know what happened. Yet you do it over and over again. It's not even based on ignorance. There's an excuse to be like, oh, we just didn't know. But no, you know.
You knew.
You still know. You know right now. You wrote it down.
Come on. What people.
Multiple languages.
What people do that the most, literally, as a race?
Well,
isn't it color people that just always seem to be doing the same thing? Like, they're hard-headed?
Know what people either they think, I think we get, like you said, that trappings of life. People want to be comfortable. We are afraid. Fear is the biggest motivator. Like,
disability is the greatest. Like, the comfortability of disability. No. Comfortability is the greatest disability. That's what I wanted to say.
Right, exactly. But no one wants to be vulnerable.
No.
Mother Nature is it's not even like you can take care of it. People need companionship. They need shelter. We have basic needs. Mm-hmm. And the lack of any one of this or the threat of any one of these things induces massive amount of fear. And then we conform and we like, okay, well, then we'll just do this. So, like, at least we have company to do this. Like, you know.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't even have to explain you the brainwashing possibilities of that we have mapped through the Bible. Mm-hmm. We know this stuff. We know the effects of trauma. We know how how we can get people to act against us all day. I mean, we don't even have to get started with how they do stuff. But like, which commandment are we on?
We're on the third one now, I think. Yeah.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. And what does that mean to you?
Just as it broke it down in that kids video, there are other words than, you know, oh my, or blasphemous, or why God, or like I said just now, you know, don't blame God for stuff. Like, you know, you ask, you talk to God, you build a relationship. I don't think when you get to the point of blaming, it's like you don't really understand God. It's like, you know, I mean, what does it mean to you? Don't take the Lord's name in vain. I mean, how is that?
Well, I mean, it's clear as day. Like, we don't want to just toss his name around like in a disrespectful way. Like, and I think it gets a little deeper than saying like, oh my God, you know what I mean? It's like,
right.
It also goes far, like, why am I reading the Bible and I don't see that he's born on December 25th on Christmas, but we celebrating that like using his name? I think that's taking his name in vain. Like,
no, who I mean, said that's that? Like, that's like our entire world system taking his name in vain. Like, you know, like programmed to take his name in vain. Like,
right. How disgusting it is to the fact that, like, not only do we take his name in vain, but how about the original translation, how I studied, right? This is upon my studies, where the real name is not even Jesus, okay?
Right.
So if there was
So we're talking Jesus and God, like, you know, I want to be really specific.
Yeah, the like Christ, talking about Jesus Christ. You
okay.
know.
But when you say God, are we talking the Trinity, or are you specific? Are you, do you see God as a separate from Jesus? Because this is a question.
Yeah.
You see Jesus Christ and God as one and the same.
I believe that the
like
Father
an extension of each other.
Extensions of each other. Exactly. Because like
we can at least go forward moving. We could add that.
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah. So in regards to that with the name thing, I just think that's crazy because there's no J's in the Hebrew language, right? So it's so disrespectful to like change his whole entire name to forget about him. It's taking him in vain anyway because you don't even know his name. It's crazy. I think that's wild disrespectful.
So Julia is spelled with an H.
It's spelled with a Y. For Christ, for Jesus, it's supposed to be like Yeshaya. It just means my Savior in Hebrew.
No. I just, for my own life.
Sure.
Okay. There are no J's in the Hebrew language.
No. Isn't that ridiculous?
I mean, that is, I understand that Jesus thing now. That's crazy. And you know how I feel about Jesus Christ. He's like my Lord and Savior.
Absolutely.
And another shining example of how exemplary behavior.
Did you ever get baptized?
And another thing that regarded to this one, taking the Lord's name in vain, would be, for example, the term holy war.
Say that again?
Holy war.
Holy
like the
war.
Amount of wars.
Mm-hmm.
the amount of wars that we fight in the name of God or in the name of Christ or in the name of, like, right? When, like, clearly...
In the name of Allah? Gotten, like, that's ridiculous. Like, how they be doing that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. That's a good one. I haven't heard that one, like, before, actually. That's a great point.
So, we are on number four.
Are you baptized? Oh, wow.
I am.
Oh, nice.
And there's a funny story. Huh?
Yeah, when did you get baptized? And tell me your just tell me your funny story. Go ahead.
All right. So, well, not, it was funny for me, but that's fine. So when I was born, so my mom, obviously, we needed to be Christian. I was born in Trinidad and Tobago. You know, it's a third world country. And we needed to be christened, so but my mom went to the Catholic Church and they said that she needed to attend the church for like 6 months before they christened me. And that just said that she wasn't religious in the institutional sense. So I was initially baptized as a Baptist. And but I went to Catholic church growing up. And I attended different churches just to see, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, I'm growing up in a Caribbean country and there are 5 or 10 different denominations.
Tell me about it. Like, really?
How do you rationalize?
How do you know?
So, you know, eventually, Catholic Church was the biggest influence. Okay. You know, it gave me structure, it gave me, you know, friends. A community, the Pope visited Trinidad, so we, you know, there's like a big, you know, it's all about tradition and you know what to do. And in a life where there probably isn't that much structure, that was something to always go through. So I was christened and baptized and did First Communion. But I think at a late age, because I was like 14, but like, first thing doing it at that time, like, so it was like weird, but that's a funny story.
Yeah. Nice. That's kind of wild. Okay. Yeah.
Right.
So, I got baptized like 3 times, okay?
For real? Right. Okay. Tree's a charmer. Tree's my favorite number. Here.
Just to make sure, you know, I'm trying to make it through them pearly gates.
Exactly, man. How is that funny story? When was the last time?
Say it again? I'm sorry. I didn't hear that part.
How's that funny story? When was the last time?
Man, first of all, when I first got baptized, it was back in 2009, and I was scared out of my, like, out of my wits, because I was facing 10 years of prison, you know, dealing with a previous relationship. So I got caught up being involved in that. And so I was like, oh, okay, if you get me out of this, I'm yours forever.
I am your one and only.
I'm your one and only.
Go ahead. Yeah, man, we have all been there.
Okay, thank you. I can just breathe now. Yeah, gosh, okay. No, seriously, that was
terms,
ridiculous.
Laying those terms on thick, man, until the second time. And they're like, okay, well, really? This time.
Right.
Sure.
You know, it is so crazy because it's like, okay, I was good for like a year straight. I mean, I even encountered God personally.
Months.
Yeah, like, I.
Right,
you said you thought I had like 12 months, what?
No, I said a whole year, 12 months. But I was
oh, yeah. But seriously, it probably was about that, actually, without me realizing it. But thinking back, yeah, it sounds about right. So a whole year goes by. I mean, my relationship with God is like, my encounter with him is super personal. I super hear from him loud and clear. It's like I was walking with him, like it was like a spiritual journey like I've never encountered again in my life. Like, now I know, I just feel like he came to me, he walked with me. Now that I know that's in my heart, like, that'll never be taken away from me. But then, you know, death is like a tricky thing. I had death around me, so that kind of made me backslide a little bit for years. And then, you know, I kind of got more of an understanding
You know, leveled up in my understanding, found another church, got baptized again, and then backslid again. And then now, just this past December, I got rebaptized, and I'm just like, all right, now I found out his name is real, you know, the real name. And now the Ten Commandments, all this is like so prominent. Like in the beginning, I didn't even know what the Ten Commandments was even about. I thought they were done away with. So from then till now, it's like I'm a different person. I'm like, I'm just praying to him every day to just keep on the straight and narrow path, you know, and no distractions, despite what's going on.
No, I think I respect that, because I think it's we as ourselves, we are works in progress.
Yeah.
And we're in evolution. Mm-hmm. And I think Moses is back to Moses. There's another huge example of that, like, you know, being completely lost. And someone telling you something and you're like, okay, this is good, and someone's talking to me and I can hear this. Yeah, I mean, that's not a normal thing, like you're saying. Like, you know, it's being in that space, because when you say God was with you and he was beside you, like,
yeah,
somebody else would be like, okay.
Everybody else was definitely like that. My family was like, all right, okay, calm down.
It's weird to just be one way time. And then people are like, I'm suspicious. And they're like, oh. And then the worst thing is when people associate you as like a crazy religious person.
Yeah.
Like, why is crazy religious? Like, that's why I think, and as being younger, like, you know, I think I was afraid of like being open about Jesus Christ. And like, you want to be seen as a Jehovah's Witness? I'm putting air quotes up. Not that that's bad, but just that's the stigma. Yeah, but I respect that your journey is legitimate, and it's yours, and God is with us 100%, and he's always with us. Our stumbles, mm-hmm, are really just lessons. I think Moses is a great example of that journey. Yeah. And the relationship with God.
Yeah, that the story of Moses really teaches us to like break free from such mental bondage. Like, you know what I mean? Especially nowadays, like to just believe in our own potential nowadays, and to just trust in something greater than ourselves, which is our creator, the essence of who we are. Like yeah, man. Commandment 4.
Well, I feel like but evil, the foundation of evil is just like teaching hate. And even the act of Moses killing an Egyptian guard,
mm-hmm,
and just seeing the wrong in that. Like, I mean, I remember as a teenager thinking about Americans, well, slavery in general, and just, and not even about the people in bondage, but the children that had to learn how to hate constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how, what does that do to your mind?
It makes you wicked and evil.
Learning how to like hate, like as a regular, and then go to church every Sunday.
Oh, that's crazy, right? And just, oh my gosh,
like constant contradiction
wild.
Of this, yeah, mind bending. Like I said in our first conversation, like, I don't know how anyone stays sane up until like 30, because they're like, it's like so much information and so much like, whoa. You have to unlearn
then
like readjust, mm-hmm, and like you need to like constantly re-evolve yourself and like purposely, so like, you know, consciously do this, otherwise you're like lost in this. And I think I have a big problem with this still transitioning from one thing to, okay, well, I need to work on this now, but okay, then I transition into this because I'm not working on this now.
Exactly.
Right?
I agree.
Five.
No, we're on 4 now.
We're on 10. Yeah, I'm rushing ahead. Okay, I'm gonna wait. But I mean, even Jesus, so these are connected, like the Ten Commandments can really be, like you said, the foundation. They're connected to everyone. But who really, if you were looking for like a role model, like who really, that was another part of my big challenge, knowing the Ten Commandments as a kid and really looking for a role model, in like a public role model that actually follows these. Because even if you think about like, well, I guess Gandhi's kind of one of them, but I was going to say Mandela, there's a being a man, there's a lot of, there's always like a lot of infidelity stuff. But that's also like insecurity, fear again of our own mortality and fear of like, you know, us not being here. I don't want to justify infidelity, but I'm like saying like it seems to be a common trend, man. Like,
yeah, but we can't cherry pick what we want
to follow.
It's
difficult for me to find role models that 100% wanted to be like, yes, this is a. But I understand now as an adult how difficult it is to live up to these commitments and be a man of the world. How can you live up to thou catch or not kill and want to defend your family and fight in a war?
That's what I'm saying. These are challenging. But that's what I'm saying. It has to be something that we trust that's greater than ourselves, like at all times. Right. And if
of course,
if we don't, then we're going to always fall short to sin. Like, that's the sin. Doing everything outside of God's will is sin. Even to have gifts, like you say you're a graphic designer and all that, and you know that's like a God-given talent, and you don't pursue it, that's sin. You know what I'm saying? Like, just...
No, I mean, it's really that simple. I think if you break it down like that, straightforward, like... Yeah, but then people... We have a world of semantics. People can justify anything, I feel like. Absolutely anything. Academic anything. We've got this. We have a pretty despicable history, so I don't even have. We don't have to get into the Republican justify anything, but let's just take that as a given.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just think that if we get outside of ourselves and focus on really giving our all to the word of God, because until you tried it, I don't think you could knock it. And you have to be genuinely and remorseful, repentful to really, really see a change. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't come with a pure heart, like, I think it's gonna be hard to really hear from
the
God.
Exact breakdown for real. Like, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain is obviously we said that we shouldn't use God's name as a swear word, that's a given. But just meaning to say that if we identify as Christians but not living or acting like Jesus Christ would. I think that the phrase, what would Jesus do, is a big, it should be a big part of our life.
It is true. That was like a big, like at a time in the world, right? That was people's wearing their little bracelets and everything. We need to bring that back.
I'll work up the artwork for that. Because,
please do.
Yeah, let's
just make a different design for it, because maybe it's not catching like it was because of the design.
Seriously, 100%. That's on my list. What would Jesus do? Like, it's just lost. Like, when people try to like justify these actions and then tie Jesus into it.
They cherry pick. They cherry pick and justify all day.
But there's no cherry picking to be done. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't. Like,
or is there perception?
You can't say Jesus turned water into wine, so he's for alcoholism.
What's the context?
The context there, like, I mean, if you're cherry picking like that, you can make anything into like, cure the lepers, so why do other people not need to be cured? There's that story of Job and the whale. Like, oh my God, there's so much.
That's in just
the
like... whole
and the Jesus story is so short. It's such a little part of the Bible, too. It's just so sad.
It's just crazy because they cherry pick on the day. Like, it says keep the Sabbath day holy, which is the seventh day, but keep on Sunday, the first day of the week. So...
I would want to say that because of the whole lineup of the days, I don't really care what day it is. Just once it's a day.
But see, but that's what people be saying. So let me ask you a question, C. Lewis. Let me ask you this. If God says to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, the seventh day rest, why do people say whatever day, just pick a day? If he said remember the seventh day.
Right. When I say remember, because I'm thinking we only started using what we're doing BC now, before Christ and after Christ. Mm-hmm. So we created this whole day system. So like, I don't know.
It's supposed to be just so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Not Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
We did numbers, right? So 7th day, I understand. So if you're saying that if we decide that the first day is Monday and the 7th day is Sunday, and collectively we say Sunday is the Sabbath, mm-hmm. I say, yeah, that's fine. I'm fine with that. My thing is, as opposed to getting stuck on that semantics, on basing it on something that's man-created, so that it has to be the Monday to 7th, the 7th day, I say choose a day of the Sabbath. We understand that God worked for 6 days and rest on the 7th. In some cultures, that might be different because we're obviously going from a Western system. Culture, uh-huh. But in some cultures that's completely different. So I'm not gonna go to like Tibet and be like, nah, that's not Sunday. You can't do that. Like, you feel me?
No, I hear you.
That's where my flexibility is. Not like I'm like, yeah, choose anything. It could be Monday. Yeah. It's more like, you know, respectful of culture. And like I said, I'm an artist. I want to make sure to understand everyone and get them and be open to most things within my moral compass, mm-hmm. you know, based on the what would Jesus do being my mantra,
right?
So if Jesus Jesus would definitely be like, nah, you can't do that, because he did walk up into that our temple and was like, don't sell that stuff here.
Mm-hmm. you know it's so crazy because like for me, like how I view things, I'm like, okay, well, if I'm born in this calendar system that I have to just be in, okay, so I'm gonna take it as is. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm gonna do the opposite of what the world is doing anyway. So if y'all doing Sunday, I'm definitely gonna do Saturday. Like, I'm not following the broad and wide path.
And I'm a bit of the devil's advocate as well, because you know you don't want to conform, which is always like, yeah, you want to go good. I'm saying that's how we ended up with that apple, man. Like.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, you know what? I think those are like the most like confusing, like those first four commandments, because I feel like the fifth commandment, honor your mother and father, you know, the sixth, thou shalt not kill. They're all like very straightforward.
You think the first
people may have a little issue with that.
You know what's funny, that we started off this conversation with saying, oh yeah, the Ten Commandments are really simple and straightforward, and now we're like, oh my God, we're on four, and like, these are really deep.
Right, exactly. Because it's like, okay, but you realize the perspectives of different people, and then when you start to really get into it, it gets a little bit more, you know. But I think
also
reading the
wisdom
world
of God.
Mm-hmm.
The wisdom of God, like how, like he didn't give us 100 like, things to do.
Right.
He really just gave us 10 things that covered, like if we did these things,
we'll be led to do the more things, like no doubt.
If we did these things, there would be less suffering, mm-hmm. pain, hurt, anxiety, fear in the world.
Right. I agree.
Period.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he didn't make it. I mean, it could be complicated when you start to break it down, how far reaching each commandment is. I mean, when we get further down, I mean, where were you going? It's like six.
Yeah, like, thou shalt not kill.
You're saying that, like, five. Like, I think even the father and the mother thing, like, I mean, I think a big part of that, specifically for number five, is defining father and mother. I think some parents are challenging. To say the least.
Yeah.
Not from personal experience, but just saying, I mean, I see it from personal experience.
You can relate. Yeah.
You
can understand.
You know, so I'm not saying when we, because that's also not a challenge of who do you give that level of respect. And I've seen children put, into difficult things by their parents and into unspeakable things. And, you know, we can use those actions of those individuals to challenge this. But at the end of the day, you know, this is not a straightforward, like, you know, it's not. It's
well,
not a straightforward commandment.
I
feel like you have to define every term, like, even, you know, father, mother, honoring that father. If you see God himself as your father, you know, you're honoring God. Honor your father. That's how I ended up just
Yeah, like even if somebody has abusive parents, you know, or something crazy, because we hear those type of stories too. But I think, like you just said, like if you honor God, then you can see the hurt in them and like how they're not perfect and that they're just mere man. But just having the love and respect for them with their flaws and all, because they without them you wouldn't be here, is also enough to just respect in itself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's okay.
Right, but I feel like, you know, sometimes parents could use this to kind of push a little further. I 100% you should respect the people that brought you into the world and the sacrifice of having a child, because as an adult you understand what that is. It's not just like, you know, you go think of one at a store someday. Mm-hmm. Like then you throw some water on it every couple of times you pass by. No, having a child is a big freaking deal.
Right, man. Listen, the devil is always trying to search for a weakness in within our closest people. Like, it's just ridiculous.
And we need that support and camaraderie and community to be able to combat that.
Exactly.
And 100%, I agree that you should definitely love your mother and father. But I think like there's a lot of room for corruption of that commandment. Where if you're dealing with an adult, it's a child.
Right.
You know, because we as adults, we have more perspective as children, and we can use things to manipulate them. If you're teaching children how to take commandments, and then you teach them, you know, to always listen to adults, and you're telling, you're directing an adult, directing, you know, that's what I'm saying. But anything is like that, it's a double edged sword.
Seriously, I agree.
I'm sorry. I just read you like 5 sentences.
No, it's okay. This is what it's all about. Casually having a convo. That's it. You know?
Yeah, but that's my perspective on that. You know, that I shall honor thy mother and father. That's, I feel like maybe I was preached for like my friend's parents saying that to them all the time while like literally doing something that wasn't not in their best interest.
So, so make sure you make them look good, because God is a reflection of us all in a way. So just making God look good. All right, do the like, right thing. Do the right thing. And we already know, like six, like thou shalt not kill. Like,
oh my God, that should just be so straightforward. But like I said, you know, we are an awful society or like community. Like everything is based on we've structured this entire history based on aggression.
Yeah, but what about defending yourself?
That's what I'm saying. And that's also back to the transition. Like at some point, we could have transitioned from aggression where we use language and like you know. Technology, not even technology, but infrastructure. Like, but no, we just kept sliding back into aggression. We want something, we took it, we murdered it. We can get away with lying about it. We did, like, and that's just been like the building blocks of every part of everything that we've gotten to since then. And at some point, if we don't transition into like what we know is better and best behavior and best practices, what are we really? We're not really. That's the whole point of being like. The higher being we have, we can control our behavior, but are we really in control of our behavior? We're just going with being true to emotions constantly.
What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
We said that earlier. Like even the Egyptians have like the Israelites have a precise history of every act from beginning of time. And no lessons being learned here.
Nothing at all. It's like, do I have to smack you upside your head every morning for you to get what's going on here?
We are ignorance is an excuse for a child at this point.
Oh my God.
When I grew up in a third world country, the middle of the Caribbean, Google would have been a privilege.
Okay. We're so spoiled. We're so spoiled. It's disgusting. Especially us in the States, like we're disgustingly spoiled. Like we have no regard for what's going on outside of the States. Like it gets crazy.
Oblivious.
Meanwhile, we wouldn't be able to survive without our cell phones and nothing. Well, you know.
No, and then I mean, to in your defense, like in the '80s, you guys didn't have like Google was not a big thing then either. It was really like. I mean, you guys always had more resources, but just the ease at which you can have questions answered. But I had so, your kid, I believe, I'm not sure if I was the one unique kid, but like, I had a ton of questions constantly. Why is the sky blue? Like, why, like, you know, questions.
Oh my God.
The grand minds want to know.
Right.
And Google, like I said, would have been an asset.
Yeah. But, you know, I think the abortion thing is really, really huge, too, with the killing. You know, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes, and also kind of tying back to Jesus. Yeah. That in that situation, that old Mary situation, the double Mary situation, our Reverend Mother. Mm-hmm. That's like, how would that be perceived now? I mean, even Moses, like, they were ordered to throw him. To throw him in the sea, like when he was born.
Yeah. Okay.
Like these, this whole things, like the Bible is chock full deep of everything that we're experiencing right now, and so like we're true. Learning zero lessons here.
Everything zero. Is like a symbolization of what was and what is and what is to come. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see what the big deal. Pro-choice and pro-life should not be two separate things. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because I want women to choose what happens to their bodies means that I want babies to die. I don't know why
women be like, my body, my choice. Yeah, you opened up your legs and that's what you chose. Yeah, like, you know the consequences.
And 100%, and my thing is, like, is also, I am really pro life that I want to, like, my infrastructure, I have to make sure that the infrastructure to have a child. You know, to have the state take care of a child if someone really can't, mm-hmm. because they just might not be able to.
Yeah.
Happening. But I don't want you to shut down every orphanage, pollute the entire foster care system, and then make women have babies 10 at a time. Like, what? That's just setting yourself up to fail.
Yeah.
What child? This is not like 19th century where they're going to work at 8. Which it seems to be where some of our like laws are going. Like, you know, we're not breeding children for like factories.
No, we're not. We're even like, though, you know, once upon a time,
if these are our
plantation values, that was
we
happening.
Set it up so that children are taken care of, regardless of what their parents are consent to.
Yeah.
All right. If you refuse to give a woman like a young girl an abortion because you think you should have a child and you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus Christ and the Immaculate Conception, okay. But then that child should not end up like a homeless person in the like foster care system being abused and like, come on.
Yeah, it's just, they gotta do better. But you know, it's never gonna change though. It's already like a beast that took over. It's over. We just gotta like make better choices. Individually.
We are not shy about writing down our ignorance either. Mm-hmm. Because scrubbing Indian kids so that they could be more white and like the Catholic Church has a long history. Mm-hmm. That's not all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we abuse children. I think my biggest thing, if I get to impact anything, would be improving the lives of children and empowering them to, because they grew up with power. When I was a teenager, I felt like I did have a lot of power. I mean, they're coming to, if it comes to election and then choosing, getting into power, like, you know, from 13, you should be talking to children in 4 years, next election, they're going to be voting. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we don't learn civics in school. Why do you think that is? They don't want you to know. Like,
they don't. They want you to just keep working for them and stay on the plantation. That's it.
Of course, man. Gotta make that money, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So
or somebody else,
right?
I'm sorry. Where are we?
No, where are we
no
at
stealing.
Now? Where are we at now?
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay. So we said, let's close off on thou shalt not kill. Like I said, there's a lot of justification in that because we fight wars and all that. And personally, I feel if you're a Christian, you know, no Christian is going to be enlisted in the army. We're constantly fighting against ourselves, and I'm not sure how many wars you've been in. But like,
I battle. I'm in a war every day. Every time I wake up out here.
I'm
in a battle with my flesh.
I'm just saying, I haven't slit any throats that white people play.
Oh out. Nah. No.
Yeah, so that's a whole different type of trauma.
but what makes somebody commit adultery is like if you sit there and you become in between a union of a husband and wife, right? Yeah. Like if
another
you
another thing about
that causes somebody to want to kill you too. That just leads back to six. You're breaking a union of a holy matrimony. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be a powerful, unbreakable bond.
The literalness of adultery is another thing, because I feel like this can also mean like betraying a friendship, or like they all kind of tie in, like adultery as in the person that you're connected to. But then throughout the, I don't know, this is, it's like weird. Like I said, I'm a faithful person, so this isn't going to bother me. Oh. But like, but you know, this always being.
Obviously, hold that thought, because this is getting good and we're almost down to like the 10th commandment, but we're going to have a part two. So just hold on just one moment.
Yeah, you can continue from there.
Yeah. All right. We'll be right back. All right, and we're back with part two. Now, we were just discussing commandment 7, right? And you're saying that you don't necessarily think that it's like a husband and wife only, but just also friendships and, you know, meaningful relationships that are brought together by God, in a sense. Is that?
Well, I mean, I think, well, this says that men and women make promises to each other when they're married. These promises are important. Mm-hmm. And breaking them cause deep sadness. Mm-hmm. Keeping these promises help men and women have happy marriages and happy lives. I think a marriage is a commitment. And I think a commitment is a huge part of personal character. And if you're like, thou shalt not commit adultery, I mean, that's pretty straightforward.
I think so. I mean, we are not meant to stray from the unions that the Most High has brought together. Like, we're not.
How does that apply to, like...
You sound a little far away. I'm just going to let you know. Okay, there you go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, we lost him. Let's get him back on the phone.
This is Corey
Lewis. Did his phone just die out on us? Well. See, that's what happens with casual combos. You never know if a phone will die or come back to life. Hello. No, it's good.
Do you have to call me, or is this good?
This is perfect. You called me right back while I was trying to call you.
Yeah, we're right on time.
So, yeah, what happened there? What were you saying in the last part?
Oh, I was saying that, you know, that just not commit adultery is just so straightforward.
Yeah, I think so.
I think when I'm seeing this as a perspective of me looking at it as a kid and, like, you know, looking at the world around me and then seeing how this fits in, and adultery seems to be like a big thing that nobody seems to care about.
I'm have to bring a scripture out on this one. I have to, like, Mark 10:9.
It's a big deal, but it's what seemed like really important to me.
It is, because look, Mark 10:9 says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." Okay? So, again, when God unites a man and a woman, it is a powerful and unbreakable bond. So, thou shalt not commit adultery, because I feel like that's like a covenant. Like, that's how you bring healthy families into the system, so there's no abortions being done. There's no killing being done. There's order in the house.
We're not breeding kids for factories.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
Exactly, 100%, because like I was saying before, that you know, marriage is a commitment. Mm-hmm. And it's also a commitment to someone else, but it's a commitment to yourself. And if you don't have that much respect for yourself and self-control, to me, at the end of the day, God is about loving themselves. Your body is your temple. And if once we learn to love and respect ourselves, mm-hmm. then I think the next step is that we can be in a relationship. And if people are forced to be married at 10, like, I'm not really sure they made that journey. So, like, You know, I feel like you can't really be with someone else until you fully understand yourself.
What
your motivation and your passions are. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to open yourself to, like, really deal with other people's things or, like, understand other people. Like, but you can't be working on yourself and then be expected to work, help somebody else work on themselves as well. That's where that stress comes in. And that, like, then you look for other places to get things that you want because you're not getting that from your partner because you're in two different places.
Amen. And you know what? Such commitment, like you're saying, like, such commitment is a profound way of, like, honoring the Most High God
respect.
Anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, respect.
And respect. Yeah.
Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Thou shalt not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You made a promise to God, under God to do this.
You treat God.
You just break that.
You treat God and with honor and respect. You'll treat others with honor and respect. Because you
But I'm saying, but even the thou shalt not commit adultery is a complete breaking of, like, either three or four of the commandments. Like,
oh, facts. Know, you're right. Yeah, you're getting that right. Is a good point.
Mark 10:9, like, as you know, what God has put together, like,
yep.
You committed under Christ for this, and then you mm-hmm. just did whatever you wanted to, didn't you?
I like how you did that there. I like that. C.S. Lewis, yes, is in the building, yes. That's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm.
All right, so, like, number 8. That's another straightforward one, and we should submit to the other one. Thou shalt not cede. If it is not yours,
yeah,
don't take that shit.
Right. That goes back to committing adultery. That is not yours. You stealing somebody else's relationship, bro.
That goes back to slavery and, like, this.
Oh, my gosh.
Yours.
Right?
You cannot own me. The Ten Commandments are pretty straightforward. Thou shalt not steal. You cannot own somebody.
You just made me think about, like, the slave ships. You that's from back then. That's like sex trafficking, because what they was doing back then. That, like,
fucking foundation.
Oh,
like,
my gosh! Yes.
My French.
Yes, that is so crazy. You've been stealing from the beginning.
You also have to look at the industry of, like, of slavery and, like, of mm-hmm. manufacturing labor. Like, mm-hmm. Mississippi ended up with a 55% black population after it was abolished. What are they going to do? A light black official?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's the thing. So the only, their forethought wasn't like, oh yeah, this might end sometime, so we should probably control this. No, there's like, let's do this forever.
Yeah, and just keep changing up how we doing it, so we make them more blind and dumb to the fact that.
Back to that Django character, Samuel L. Jackson. Like, this is the way shit should be.
Right,
White people should be ruling everything.
Crazy. It's the pride for me, you know? Crazy. So then that goes against, that goes right into the commandment number 9. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor.
So many stories, so many references.
It is. And they all tie together.
I mean, let's go back to, this one, obviously, we just mentioned, what was Joseph and the coat, right? Where, what was it? His boss's wife says that he slept with us and they threw him in prison for years and years. This is that story, right?
Wait, which story are you talking about?
So Joseph uh-huh. and the coat, right?
Uh-huh.
Joseph wore that pretty coat. His brother sold him into slavery.
Uh-huh.
That was Joseph. Is that Joseph?
Yes.
It is. Right. So then his boss's wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Says, oh, well, this is...
She was attracted to him.
Right. So mm-hmm. so when he spurns her, a woman scorned... I'm just saying, it's all in the Bible. It's all there, man. It's all there. The cautionary tales are there. We have no excuse when we do stuff.
Right.
It is all there.
We just want to do it because we want to do it, not because what God said. And that's a problem.
Not even what God said, but like they said, when she did this happened. I mean, what does that tell you? Like, you know, maybe we should lie on people because he got put into prison and then became the ruler. Like, oh, no.
Right.
Truth. But they're dealing in a whole different God system than we were. So that's mm-hmm. just regular for her. That was her reputation.
That was just her being a scam.
I mean, if that's the culture, we're pretty much living in the same culture now. Like,
I mean, but if it really was culture, she wouldn't have been trying to hide it from him. So, from Pharaoh, whatever. You know, she was being scandalous. She knew she was lying.
She did lie and pretend rape.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And that's the other thing. Like, yeah, she said, yeah, of course.
My girl.
So that's the other thing. A man and respecting your wife and, like, you know, but they're not dealing with our rules.
That's
their
under
the correct system. And this is way before the system.
Facts.
And just 30 years before. So that's what I'm saying. That's why the Ten Commandments were necessary with me.
Okay.
With Mr. Jackson. Right? And he said, like, this is it. This is all you have to do. This is really hard, people. Really. I just parted the Red Sea.
I'm walking with y'all. I have a whole big thing. Like, what was it? A dust of wind that was just making sure they was good and he had the light of the moon following them, like a fire at night, keeping them warm. Like, he was there.
I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember how many plagues there were, but they just went through all those plagues.
Oh my gosh.
He's still like, yeah, I'm the one true God. Like, hello.
Like, what more do y'all need to see?
Like, yo, when, you know, Moses comes down from Mount Sinai, these guys melting a golden calf to worship.
This is what I'm saying.
Like, he collected all the gold from everybody. They still had gold on them, number one. Enough to make a whole calf.
Oh my gosh. And can I just tell you, you made me think about when you said how many plagues there were for them to even understand what was really going on, like what was happening before their eyes. Guess how many.
There had to be no doubt at that point.
Just guess. But just guess how many plagues. Just guess.
We're past the pandemic. Isn't real, like you know, people are dead in streets. Dead trucks everywhere with dead bodies, and I'm like, we're not there.
But listen, guess how many plagues? Just guess off the top of your head, how many plagues were shown?
God, was it 12?
10.
That's too many, right? Right. Yeah. Okay,
10.
Yeah.
After the 10 comes the 10 commandments. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you said, everything is like symbolizes. What's being done or what's going to happen or what's already done. Everything is like works together. That's crazy because it was 10 plagues. That's crazy.
And you said it was, you know, all about pride and like, think about the relationship between Moses and Pharaoh because they were his brothers. And he had to go through 10 plagues to be like, because that's sort of the disbelief and the disconnect. I know you, man.
Wow.
Dude, I know you. Can't be real. Commandments down the line. Just take your people and go.
That's crazy to me. That was an enlightening moment for me. I'm sorry. That was just crazy. And then again, they couldn't even see.
Witness against your neighbor, I think, is a big thing. If you're willing to. That's pretty much thou shalt not lie, right? Yeah, thou shalt not lie, but that's pretty much thou shalt not lie.
Nine is really thou shalt not lie because you're bearing false witness against somebody.
Yeah, I would think so.
So I think coveting, right, for 10 is basically wanting what somebody else has.
Envy. Which I feel is like, and I think envy is one of the mortal sins as well, right?
Yeah.
I think envy is a big thing. The grass is always greener. I mean, when I was little, we learned about the structure of the family and the nuclear family and the extended family.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I envied the nuclear family because of the structure and how I thought like everything should be. And I might have pushed my mom to be married more, like, you know. But envy is always a thing. And then you realize, like, those families were mad messed up. Like my outside kids, like the wife was miserable, you know. Like, you know, envy is not. It never really works because you're not sure what other people's journeys are. It's like someone seeing you and saying, "Oh man, like she's so great, like what you are." I really wish I was her. Do they really want your life?
Seriously, you put down your problems and pick up someone else's problems, and you be like, "Oh,
exactly. It's never gonna be different. Like
it's gonna probably be a lot worse.
It is you."
Right.
Need to work on yourself.
Seriously.
Yeah. So envy is never—it's never a good road to go down.
No.
I mean, you can appreciate people and respect them, and it all comes back to me. I think about, self-love. your body, your temple, you respect yourself, you take care of yourself, and you appreciate yourself. You appreciate your journey and respect that, because that makes you who you are, and nobody else can be you.
No. And you know what's even more crazy too, what I think we should all try to be a little bit more mindful about, is how we post and how we boast or how we put things out there. Because, you know, even with friends, the friends could be going through something, somebody, you, the loved one you don't even know, and they'll see you post vacation photos or a new car on social media, and that might can trigger feelings of envy and dissatisfaction too. So I think we gotta be careful about
that. Even social media, like set up for that, I feel like that's the whole structure of that. So really,
I think we gotta use our platforms better.
More on you.
Huh? I think we got to use our platforms better, though, because this is all like the devil's playground, too, in a sense. So you got to use it wisely, because, again, if you're posting something and somebody sees you, like, oh, yeah, I be seeing the posts and she be having the jewels on.
Well, I mean, there's a different way to post. I don't think anyone's posting like the 90s with like rims and like sticks and like, you know, I don't know. That's not my life.
No, it's not my life either, though, for sure.
So I'm just saying, that's not my post life. I'm not in my circle of posters. I don't get those messages, but maybe people are still doing that. And yeah, I'm into branding and image, the image. So you are in control of what you put out there and how you represent it yourself. And you can decide to wear Christ on your sleeve, or what you range is just t-shirts every day, and like your banners, like, what would Jesus do? Which I would definitely do. I'm probably about to do as soon as we get off this call. Love for Christ or something. You can do that constantly, or just project it by what you post. Have what would Jesus do in the messages that you're sending. Like, even if you're grateful because you're now able to have this thing, you should not be reluctant to share something with your social media if you're truly grateful for that and you think you deserve it and want to share it. But not in a way, obviously, it's never about what you say, it's always about how you say it.
Right? I agree with that. And yeah, again, like you said earlier in the conversation, that if we work on ourselves, lost them again. So my point is, like, you know, if we work on ourselves, you know, we won't have, or we won't get that result. And having that personal misery or that sense of failure, you know, if we are working on ourselves and prioritizing God in our lives, truly, you know.
Go for this. I'm going to just put the end speaker because my headphones, I think, maybe was a problem.
No problem at all.
I don't know what it is, but you're saying back to our...
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, you know, if you're really working on yourself and you're keeping God first, like prioritizing God and your life as a person, then, you know, you won't fall into that personal misery or that sense of failure when you see things going on in other people's lives. You know what I'm saying? So you got to truly work on yourself at the end of the day. It's so essential to just recognize, though, how coveting can manifest in our daily lives. And it can take over and really ruin lives, you know? And again, that can lead to stealing, that can lead to lying, that can lead to all types, all the 10 and putting other gods before God.
Yes, really the foundation, like, I think with these commandments, God's really saying to you, these are your red flags, man.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that we really need to be concerned about. And that's why I'm so appreciative of other, like, cultures, you know, that may not have going to church constantly or praying constantly, but have like inward meditation daily or like other things that still mimic the same effect. Those things still affect your anxiety and your depression, the way you see death and your own self and your own place in the world. And, you know, people see those actions in different ways, but truly, for me, these 10 commandments really say, take care of yourself, like your body is your temple. You control your own behavior, and we do not control other people. This whole thing is about, this is what you can do. Mm-hmm. It's not about convince people to do this or other people. No, this is about you. Mm-hmm. This is just you.
Your individual walk, because you can't be judged with everybody on Judgment Day. That's for sure. It's just going to be you.
Exactly. And this is God saying you need to work on yourself. If he was telling everyone there, like, this is what I want. This will bring you happiness. It's not even, because I think even growing up, like, I was thinking, oh, this is what God wants. This is what he's making us do. But realistically, this is what will keep you sane. This is what will give you peace. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the real message. It's not like, I command you to do this. It's like, this will give you peace.
Amen. That was well said. All praises to the Most High for that. So, C.S. Lewis, I have just a few quick thought-provoking questions, right, that I want to start to ask at the end of each episode. So, the first question, it doesn't have to be, like, long and drawn out or anything like that. Just, you know, answer how you see fit. But what aspects of your life do you think God is most interested in improving, and why?
What aspects of my life is God most interested in improving, and why? I think that God will be, I'm going to say, actually, second, the question this way. I think God would be happy. I would make God happy if I was true to myself and to my vision and contribute to the world in the way that he has directed me. So, and that, like I said, why? Because I feel like I said earlier, we're only here for a very short time. Mm-hmm. I know what I believe in now. I know what I stand for. I know what my values are. And if I'm not true to that, and that's the only thing that God wants me to do. Like I said, everything is there. The team pretty much just wants me to commit to the Ten Commandments. Because, like, you know, it's being true to myself, following my passions. He wants me to follow my passions, which is creative. Mm-hmm. And to use those to bring people closer to him, I think.
Oh, man, I agree. That's exactly where I'm at in my life, too. Ugh, I get it.
Right?
Exactly, yes. All right, second question. Yeah, if you could ask God one question and receive an immediate answer, what would it be?
Gosh, this has to be a question, I guess. I'm going to go with the preface that this has to be a question, but my gut answer would be, I don't have any questions for God. I trusted him.
I love it. That's amazing. Okay, third question. What do you think happens after we die?
Okay. So I think it's a big thing. It's a huge fear, I believe. And I truly believe once you have a true understanding of God and your place in the world, that what happens next, remember, my biggest thing is I feel like we're weak on transitions. Like, you know, we're always like, no. But why are we afraid? Like, nothing in our history, in our evolution, has said, be afraid of the next step. Like, nothing. And if we believe that we are part of everything and we're all connected and we're part of the earth and the world and the stars and we're stardust, and that energy never dies. Like this, I mean, if you don't believe in science, you're never going to get to the energy never dies part. But like, you know, this, but if, let's say you don't believe in science, but you believe in Mother Nature and you believe in the earth and you believe in the air that you breathe and the trees around you, that still brings you back to we all want. You don't have to be a scientist. Like, you can just be about earth and nature and understanding that and that whole respect. I'm sorry, what was the question? Sorry, I'm just kind of like...
That's what happens. You talk about God and you go either way. I love him. I love life. I love the earth. I love grounding my feet. Listen.
The grass between my toes.
The air that I breathe. The blood in my veins.
Right, exactly. Yo, you're talking to a guy that would like spend his birthday on a beach rolling in the sand.
So, oh, like, that's amazing.
I'm all about it. Yeah, so death, I'm not... I can... I'm not afraid of that, I think.
Okay.
But I think it's because I almost died, I think, when I was 7.
Wow.
But it was really weird. Not weird, but like silly. I was I had a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. So we went to the beach one time and I got lost floating on my back and just looking up at the sky and looking at the clouds and like seeing shapes. And when I came to like stand up, I was in the middle of the ocean.
What? Oh my gosh, that's so scary. I'm terrified of the ocean.
So it's scary because, you know, you go to stand up and you sink, but you're obviously taking a breath. So it's like, oh, what's happening?
Wow.
For like a microsecond.
Whoa.
And I had to figure it out. it was like a quick curve, let's just say. Okay. So and that was my thing of like almost dying when I was 7. And I think because I was my father and I didn't realize at the time that he was looking for me profusely. And I loved the water so much. It was a really hard time to like keep track of me. but I totally blame him.
You gotta take accountability at some point.
I feel like I'm gonna be that parent that has a leash on the kid, like, yeah, dude, you're not. No, negative.
Oh my gosh.
Come back over here. So that just made me think, it empowered me to think that I was in complete control. That I would always be the one to save myself. And I understood at that point that it was not just me, that I thought in that instance that I was a child of God, that God was with me. It made me feel safe and protected, that I was stranded in the ocean for a microsecond and then I left. it was like, thank you, God. but it definitely gave me, and I've had other experiences in life where, you know, things work out because I had faith and because I made the decisions that I made and trusted the people that I trusted and, you know, just believed in God and trusted in the goodness of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still on death, right? I'm sorry. Is this the last question?
No, I mean, we'll just go to the next. We have two more questions. We have two more questions. So
that's it too. So I'm not afraid of death.
Look,
I think,
exactly.
I'm not rushing towards it. That's just that. But that one thing did also make me think that I would
live for
a very long time.
Right.
I didn't understand why people died.
Right.
I looked around at people around me and saw them doing things that was obviously shorting their lives and did not understand that concept.
Mm.
And I think that's also a disrespect to the life and to God. And to, you know, you talked about talents, but life is something that God has given to us.
Amen. All right,
yeah. So I'm not afraid to die. I know you kind of have some fears of death. I think I heard it a little bit.
Oh no, I'm good.
No, you don't.
No. I don't want to sound like a.
We're not rushing to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not gonna be like, oh, I know where I'm going, but I'm just saying I have a real strong belief that I'm gonna be all right. And I'm going to be living in the land of the promise, you know?
You know what's interesting, too, is that last part of that documentary was about the death of Moses.
Oh, yeah?
And how he struggled with God about why he needed to die.
Yeah, wow.
And God said to him, but it was like, you know, I will take care of you. That he said that man is mortal.
Mm-hmm.
We all die.
Yeah. Because of the curse of Adam.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a man having a conversation with God.
This is what I'm saying.
And thinking about his mortality, mm-hmm. which is like a normal thing.
It is.
And at that point, I mean, he had been in his 80s or something. He has like children and grandchildren and like, and his whole concept of mortality is still, you know, different. Like,
nobody
wants
to die.
What am I leaving behind? What's my legacy?
Right. Nobody wants to die, but it's that wretched curse, you know, through Adam that death came. And now we got to, you know.
No, I feel like the
we gotta die to live.
Death is as an end. That's the narrative. That's the narrative that we know. We're not really.
It's the end, fleshly wise. But
it's also our urge to always know stuff. Like, we really want to know what that apple was like. Like, no, do we really want to know what this? Are we really rushing to know what this analysis like? Okay, it's gonna happen. It's not like.
Just make sure you're right before it happens. For real.
I'm just like, yeah.
Keep those commandments.
To be honest, I didn't really... I don't think death... I'm obviously talking personally. I don't think that it's something you think about when you're younger either.
No.
That's why they get kids to go to wars because they're like trying to keep guns and like the cool stuff.
Gosh, terrible.
Yeah, I probably didn't even think about that until I was like 19. My a friend from Model UN had passed away in a car accident at 17, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Wow. But there were people dying all over the world.
Yeah, it's always hits home when it happens to somebody you know and that's close to you that you love.
Yeah, I think, and that also, I have to say, I was totally unprepared when at like 30, my grandfather died. He's a huge role model and a figure in my life, and I was just unprepared, completely unprepared.
Sorry.
And you think that's not a thing you should prepare for, but yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation.
Yeah, like you said earlier, death is a big transition to like
to your everlasting life.
It's a big hill to climb.
It is. So what life experience has most strengthened your faith?
I think what life experience has most strengthened my faith. I think my biggest adversities has definitely strengthened my faith. And I think one of my biggest adversities early on was just knowing who I was, knowing who to be, knowing what type of man I want to be, knowing who to follow, what role models, what, like, you know, as we said, being confounded by the different possibilities of the world and trying to figure out what was true, what is not true.
Yeah.
And at some point you know what's true. I was going to say earlier that my only other superpower as a child was like, no one could lie to me.
Like, oh, nice. That's a good
power. Someone said something to me and it wasn't true, I instantly would know. But like, I would then have to choose, like, if the person
that I'm listening to,
I'm like, okay, like, your lie doesn't affect me, so you can go ahead and like do that.
Take that up with God,
yeah,
not me.
That's, I think maybe it's a tone thing. Because, you know, as children, we learn adaptively.
Yeah.
So if you're wanting mom to come pick you up, you learn how to cry a certain way. Like, you know, it's all about, you know, that's our foundation of life.
Right. There you go.
So, you know, yeah, I'm not. Yeah. Truth and honesty, like, I can see straight through that because we are predictable and self-serving and fearful.
So all of that, knowing all of that has strengthened your faith.
Yeah, understanding the core of just understanding who I am and who I want to be and what I believe in. I started the journey to be that, to do that confidently has strengthened my faith, definitely. But it also took a lot of, you know, challenges. Like, I respect the 40-day. I have this constant 40-day rule. 40-day, 40 nights is when Christ spent in the wilderness, is when Moses was up on Sinai. Mm-hmm. It's a constant theme throughout the Bible. So if I sometimes I'll fall out for like 40 days just to like go on a journey, find myself, take myself out of everything else. So also what fasting is about too. So like, you know, I try to like do certain things so that to make sure that I know what I'm doing and where I'm going and like just stay on track at least.
Amen.
But it's all about me. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Mm-hmm. All right, last question. Where do you hope to be in the next 5 years?
Right. Next 5 years, I hope to, well, I will be more settled and more ready to have like a family and not just be, because, you know, loneliness is a big thing. I have to start factoring in that those other aspects and preparing to fill in the gaps in where I know what I need, I know where I want to be, I know who I am, and it's not alone. So like,
you are
the other part of that. That's the next part is like adding the other chapter. So the next 5 years I'll have my business would be more successful. I'd be able to breathe a little bit more freely, and I'd have companionship that's supportive as well as complimentary.
Oh, I love it. Oh,
got it.
Yes, Louis, you're amazing. Oh my
gosh. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that 100%.
Nuts, it's been amazing. I'm so glad. You're my first guest on the Casual Convo podcast.
Wow, like, I appreciate the honor. Thank you so much. No, 100%.
So
like, we truly did have a casual convo. I enjoyed this. Anytime. I hope I get a, what's that called, another cameo.
Absolutely. Like, I want you to be a special guest all the time for the most time, the most part
just,
of it all.
Just
like,
pencil me in this anytime.
All right. I appreciate
it. It was so great
it.
Talking to you.
Oh, it's so great talking to you. And what do you got planned for the rest of the day?
I'm going to get some studying on. I'm doing that ABA thing about learning about human behavior. So I want to get some hours in on that.
Ooh.
I definitely took out some time to get in with you. I totally enjoyed this.
Yes.
You made my day.
Oh, you made
and I want you to have
too.
A blessed Sunday. It's raining, and that's a blessing.
I know it is, isn't it? I mean, it can't rain all the time, so we got to take
nah,
it
Nah, I mean,
comes.
Today it is at least.
Thank you so much, C.S. Lewis. It's such a pleasure.
And thank you so much. That's fun.
Okay.
I love your laugh. Your smile sounds amazing.
Oh, I love you. I love everything about you. Thank you.
Likewise. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. So thank you for listening to today's Casual Convo. I hope it inspired you and brought you a bit closer to God. Until we chat again, remember to always speak kindly to yourself and to others. You never know what someone else is facing. Trust me, we've all got work to do, okay? So know that I am always praying for you, and I hope you are praying for me too. May the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua Christ, be with us all. Amen.